Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, October 23rd, 2010. And today, it's my great pleasure to be interviewing Fred Burks. And for those who've had a chance to read about him on the Cosmic Love webpage, there's a little orientation there with Fred's pretty amazing experience as a language interpreter for presidents and other dignitaries, including Clinton, G.W. Bush, Gore, Cheney, and many other top officials of the U.S. and other countries. So Fred's got a really interesting background. He's got a lot of credibility on the internet for those who have connected with his news postings, his news groups, and his websites. If those who have signed up for his free information from his websites on major cover-ups, his Want to Know services, his peerservices.org is a nonprofit. It's free information you can get off his websites, and I've linked those websites there where you can get more information. The general overview is that first website at peerservice.org. And I don't have to introduce Fred to a lot of people listening to the show. I've been posting his material to about 3,300 people on my news group for years, and I've got a lot of people that I network with who also post Fred's information. One of my favorite news groups on the internet is Gene Houdon, who has the EarthRainbowNetwork.org, and that's a free news group with extraordinary, exceptional information on what's going on that you don't hear about or read about in the mainstream media. And one of the things that's really unique about Fred's news group, as well as Gene Houdon's Earth Rainbow Network news group, is that they both do very incisive briefs on what's going on from news sources, and they'll provide those news sources and the links, and you can read the in-depth information. But they also provide, as well as disturbing information that creates, you might say, cognitive dissonance with the prevailing mainstream pablum that we get, or belief system, or BS as a belief system, I sometimes refer to it. The relief from that on with Webb's, Fred's websites, is his inspirational information, his informational website, Web of Love, and I provided that link, webofloveorg, and personal growth courses he provides. He has a website called momentoflove.org. And again, you can get news feeds, sign up and get free postings from Fred on these information services he provides. And he balances it very well, as well as Gene Houdon and his news group. And these are two of the most, I believe, the most exceptional news services on the internet for a balance of, you might say, hard-hitting, incisive, level-headed exposés on how bad things are, you might say, that are rather disturbing, and then how good things can be, inspirational, truly inspired stories and information that you might say holds the balance for the heavy stuff. So I'd like to introduce to Fred here in a second. I'd like to reference the subject I think we're going to deal with most of the show today. We'll probably get off the subject and get into all kinds of stuff. But Fred recently did an email to his service, and this is his Want to Know info service that you can get, like I say, sign up for free on his website. And he had a really interesting information about these U.S. Air Force officers and one passionate researcher who assembled at the prestigious National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on Monday, September 27th, to give their intriguing testimony of personal involvement in a major UFO cover-up. And Fred had the privilege of personally meeting two of these courageous gentlemen. I believe there was six of these individuals, but he met with two of these gentlemen, Captain Robert Salas and Lieutenant Colonel Dwayne Arneson. And they both were impressed with the work of Fred's Want to Know Info, news sources, and gave him a copy of their extensive personal investigation into the UFO cover-up in which they're involved. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit, and an extensive amount of information that has just come out, and a lot of breaking news on the UFO disclosure, the extraterrestrial presence, has really been coming out in an amazing way this last month. Jean Houdon had an extensive focus on UFOs and ETs and recent developments just this last month. I believe it was just this last week, with extraordinary amount of information from all over the world, leading experts and authorities with links on this subject of UFO and ET disclosure, developments, things that are coming out, amazing stuff, documentaries, YouTube videos, articles, a lot of links. So I want to get back to this with Fred, his perspective on this. And Fred, are you there?
I am. Good to be here, Christopher, and welcome to all of our listeners.
Well, it's good to have you on the show, Fred. I've been, like I said, following you for years and thrilled with this subject of the beyond subject of...
Yeah, it's one of my very favorite topics. It's just really exciting when you talk about other presences around in our universe and how that could possibly influence planetary politics.
Yeah, and as above, so below.
Right.
What the connection is and what does it mean?
Yes, exactly.
You know, I had a really interesting producer-director of an award-winning Crop Circle show on this Cosmic Love this last time, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to a lot of information about disclosure and how it's coming out, and how some people go there and some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty and the sophistication and the coded information in these crop circles is really a self-evident statement to anyone that's followed that subject. And from her perspective and the in-depth account she gave of crop circles and numerous dimensions of this crop circle phenomena, it really kind of prime the pump for what we're going to be talking about today, UFOs and the extraterrestrial presence.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about your experience with these two individuals.
Robert Salas.
Robert Salas?
And Dwayne Arneson, yeah.
Yeah. What were these guys like?
Oh, they're great. They're very different from each other. Robert Salas is really kind of very humble, soft-spoken, and yet he's one of those people who'll stand up and speak truth to power. Really warm-hearted guy. And then Dwayne Arneson is typical old-style military. I mean, he's like, conservative Republican down the line. But when it comes to UFOs, it's like, yes, UFOs are real, and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. they're very different from each other, but they're both really cool guys.
Wow. So this was a national press club where they gave their story.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your take on that, the response to that?
Well, it's really fascinating because some of your listeners may be familiar with Stephen Greer and the National Press Club conference he put on May 9th of 2001, which was really the sort of groundbreaker for all of these. There's been several now that have happened at the National Press Club. And Bill Greer did get some press. It was pretty much not very friendly press. They're all trying to make fun of him, and he had the room packed and all the press there from around the world. But it didn't really get that much coverage. And like I said, some actively ridiculing it. So what's fascinating about this time, and this is at least the third, in fact, it's fourth or fifth, conference that's been held at the National Press Club, is the press really ran with it, and they were very supportive.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, water's gone over the dam in 9 years, that's for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. In fact, Bob Salas was at the original one in 2001 with Robert Greer. I don't remember if Dwayne Arneson was or not. He may have been also. So
wow.
They've actually testified there before. But maybe it's the fact that these were just Air Force officers was
yeah.
one piece. But also there does seem to be a slow opening among the intelligentsia to the possibility that just maybe there are really UFOs and ETs out there. And that may be part of the reason we're seeing a lot more positive coverage.
It's pretty hard to deny it. There's a lot of stuff that came out with this last announcement by one individual. You know the story on this,
yep.
who said there was going to be appearances all over the world, and there was. According to Gene Houdon, he gave records, you know, accounts of all over the world, where specifically New York City. What's your take on that?
Well, I have to tell you personally, because I certainly followed all of that. And he, you know, this guy, I don't remember, he was former higher up, I believe, in the military, and who wrote
mm-hmm.
this book, and he predicted that on that date there would be massive sightings. And though Jean Houdon, who's also a friend, we're in frequent communication, did some good studies on, to me, it was not massive.
Right.
I mean, yes, there were sightings, absolutely, you know, over New York, but they were not, like, undeniable sightings by any means. Some explained them away as balloons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't.
They always do that.
Sure, but it was nothing like a mass sighting, which he was kind of predicting. And
right.
My own personal guess is that's not how the ETs operate. They know that if they do some mass sighting, that what's going to happen is either everybody runs in fear or they bow down and say, "Please save us and tell us what to do." And the
that's
ETs
right.
don't want us to respond that way.
And I think probably. There were sightings all over the world, and people just went, "Oh, that's interesting," and then just kind of like, you know, didn't tell anyone.
Well, there were a lot of people out there looking, I have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, like, I know everybody in my network was following this pretty closely. And because I've heard many predictions like this, and zero have come true.
And nothing happened, yeah.
I tend to be skeptical. So I'm like, well, let's wait and see. And this one had a little bit more than others, but not much.
And I'm thinking that it has to reach almost a critical mass of people ready and willing to see them.
Yes, yes, I totally agree with you. I think that's what the ETs are waiting for. They're waiting
right.
for a collective consciousness to be accepting of who they are and not freaking out and turning them either into gods or Satans.
Yeah, and Carl Jung talked about UFOs are an archetype of the collective unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And that the whole, you know, thing about crop circles, the extraterrestrial presence and UFOs represents, you might say, the collective unconscious momentum that Carl Kalman, you know, the Swedish expert on the Mayan calendar, refers to as the galactic underworld. The collective unconscious is what Jung would call it.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that this whole accelerating rate of change in through 2011, which Kalman says is the end of the Mayan calendar, you know, and his take on it is not really 2012, but it's 2011, is that there is an uncovering of these cover-ups, which you're doing an excellent job doing, by the way.
Thank you.
and that there's with that, there is an uprising or an uprising of consciousness. And we're becoming conscious of how we have been unconscious, and things like crop circles, the extraterrestrial presence, UFOs, people are more ready to deal with the thought that, you know, we're not alone in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think there's a prevailing momentum throughout the history of the collective unconscious, you might say, where there was a very local provincialism, you know, especially before the internet and before global communications, and everything was local, you know. And
well, there's also the fact that Einstein declared that nothing could travel faster than light, which to me is amazing. Einstein was an amazing thinker and a very deep mystic, and yet at the same time, to make a comment like that, it's like, where's the limitless thinking? And now science
yeah.
is showing us in numerous ways that things do move faster than the speed of light. Some of them move instantaneously in scientific experiments.
And, yeah, and
The fact that, you know, he wouldn't consider other dimensions. I mean, come on, do you really think there's maybe just only three dimensions? What if there's another dimension where you can actually totally bypass the space component?
Well, it's amazing how much information is coming out on, I call it ESP, as effective sensory perception, with people having all kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit and knowing things before people say. I mean, instantaneous awareness, kind of a quantum consciousness in this whole thing of quantum reality, you know, as far as there's an instant everywhere interactive, you know, a connection.
Yes.
That a lot of people are just, I mean, they're losing time, the sense of, you know, time in a linear way, the sense of nonlinear time. There's just like the veil is being lifted as far as awareness of, you know, perceptions that transcend the linear concept of space and time, you know, Einstein's relativity as we have known it, you know, the end of the world as we've known it.
Right. Well, and not just that, but there's really been solid scientific experiments. There's a physicist named Alain Aspect, who's not yet well known, but my guess is someday he will be, who at the University of Paris in 1982 did an experiment with his team, and they found that under certain circumstances, subatomic particles like electrons and other things were able to instantaneously communicate with each other regardless of the distance separating them. And so they did this test, and they found it was whether they were like 10 feet or 10 billion miles apart, they were instantaneously communicating with each other. You know, the question is then, how is this happening? But you can go online, search Alain Aspect, University of Paris, and you can find out about this experiment, and it's quite fascinating.
I remember your news article on that a long time ago and reading that, and at the same time I was interviewing people on Cosmic Love about quantum reality and quantum conscience and how the quantum field of, you know, energy.
Yes.
And those atoms and quarks and, you know, particles are affected by consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And how this quantum field, you know, the morphic field, is morphed by the collective consciousness. And as we become conscious of how we were unconscious.
Yes.
And we bring, you might say, light to dark places.
Mm-hmm.
There is an amazing morphing of not only the grids of consciousness, but the earth grids. It's all connected physically.
Right.
And this is where I really get excited and hopeful about a revolution in higher consciousness of sorts with an accelerated awakening or acceleration of awakening where more people are becoming conscious of how they're conscious. There's more light brought to dark places, and there's kind of, you know, you might say mass enlightenment. And that, I mean, that's, to me, mankind has free will and anything is possible. And therefore, this computer internet evolution revolution, this revolution of connection with this instant everywhere interactive, you know, global village for the family of man.
Yep.
That it's really coming to a point where, as these really dark, deep, unconscious, subconscious subjects of crop circles, UFOs, extraterrestrials, there is an ability, an increasing ability, to, you know, to I call it embrace with fearless faith that there is a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
It's benevolent. There's a higher conscience with that higher power. As we become more aware of this presence in our conscience, you know, like higher conscience, basically, you know, there is, in a sense, the judgment, because we all have to judge, you know, what we once believed was true that's not.
Yep. You know, it's really fascinating. There's the holographic model is the one that I like, where you look at a hologram, and in every piece of this holographic film, the whole is contained.
Yeah.
And so I really believe that in each one of our consciousnesses is somehow interlinked to all consciousness in the universe.
I believe that. And I believe that the holodeck, that we're all on is the holodeck between our ears.
Right.
And that there is a holographic field between the upper brain, the lower brain, the left brain, the right brain, the forebrain, and the rear brain.
Uh-huh.
And in, you might say in those XYZ coordinate axis, the center is the pineal gland with the third eye chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And that there, as we become as we get, you might say, God vision or love vision or cosmic vision, cosmic conscience, as we become conscious of how we are conscious, you know, moment to moment, you know, without getting caught up in too many abstracts, that as we become more fully conscious and bring more light to the moment, there is a, you might say there is a tremor in the force of the unconscious or subconscious, and there's an awakening, and it's really this unveiling of the mysteries of being.
Well, you know, I think part of what's going on is that collectively we are more and more wanting to know what's really going on. People are starting to question these sort of old assumed reality, what I call the old paradigm.
Yeah.
So I say, I want to know what's really going on. And nowadays, through the internet, which is almost a manifestation, I believe, of our collective desire, we're now able to go, and if we use good judgment and discernment, actually start putting together the pieces of the puzzle for ourselves.
I believe that.
People like you, Christopher, and myself, who are putting the news out there, people can go say, well, is this reliable or not, and develop their own conclusions.
I believe that, that there is a relationship between the internet and what I call the internet.
Yes,
exactly. This internet is the, you might say, the morphic field.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the morphic field of Earth right now is being morphed, you might say,
mm-hmm.
by a shift of energies in our solar system as it crosses the galactic plane through 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Kalman, and I've provided a link to this information on what's going on with the galactic shift on the Cosmic Love homepage there after I introduce you, and I've got it in pink, and it's regarding an urgent alert and an appeal to conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And the appeal to conscience, it really kind of takes it from the top. You know, there's a big picture of this galactic shift of energies is really changing the weather on all the planets of our solar system. The global warming isn't just on Earth. There's this energetic change, and some people say it's because our solar system is moving into this photon belt of energies in the galactic plane of billions of star systems in our galaxy, you know, which is like a big saucer like the Sombrero galaxy. And as our solar system is moving through that, you know, over this next year, which is really the end date of, you know, the Mayan calendar, according to Johann Kalman, there is a repolarizing of energies in the morphic field of the Earth and our consciousness and the internet. I mean, our consciousness really is what creates the internet.
Right.
And this whole creation of the internet, which has really been, you know, a huge thing for an instant everywhere interactive knowing of whatever you want to know in the world, you know, at your fingertips. I mean, that has been a huge thrust for a revolution in higher consciousness already.
Exactly. It's kind of like a step between, as you said, the internet and our consciousness as it exists on the planet. The internet manifests there. And just
that's right.
One comment, which I'm sure you know, is that the Mayan calendar doesn't actually end. The Mayan calendar goes on for literally millions of years.
That's
There's
right.
A unit called the Alatun, which I believe is 35 million years or something like that.
That and what it's really
so it's
saying
like,
is it's
hitting
the end
the
of
year 10,000. On their calendar, the equivalent of a year, 10,000. But then there's 10,001.
And I think what the real point Kalman talks about, it's the end of time as we have known it. In other words, zero time or instant everywhere interactive time, non-local time, non-linear time is what is becoming a self-evident truth. And that concept of synchronicity, as Jung would call it, on a global, galactic, personal level, that how it's all connected, and you can know anything by just be still and know
and,
thy God.
Yes,
you know?
And go within, yeah.
And go within. And that internet knowing, the way it's reflexing on the outer, with a real revolution in of social conscience in our social networks. And that's really what's going on with all the social networking phenomena.
Yes, and I would add one thing is that if you really want to have access to all that is, you also have to be responsible with that knowledge. And
that's right.
In my own personal life, I am always most deeply committed to what's best for all beings.
All sentient life.
Yeah, and when you really, or the highest good, greatest good, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
Once you're fully aligned with that, then it's almost like spiritually you are then given the keys and you can dive within and get almost any answer. I found it's amazing how easy it is for me to get answers now that I am absolutely and fully committed to what's best.
I think that's the vow for pure intention.
Mm-hmm.
And when that pure intention, you know, focuses attention on our evolutionary ascension.
Yes.
In other words, personal and planetary, and the use of our God-given gifts and talents for the highest and best purpose that, you know, that one can conceive, believe, and achieve. You know, I think that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy then. And
mm-hmm.
this pure intention that focuses attention in that way naturally leads to evolutionary ascension. And I think there are, I mean, I really believe, and in my heart of hearts, I just know that there is a momentum in that direction
mm-hmm.
for those who position themselves with pure intention.
Well, I'll just throw out, because I totally respect where you're coming from, but my own personal belief is that the next few years are going to pass and people are going to go, oh, what was all the big to-do about 2012 or 2011, as you said. But that said, I think there is a major shift and opening of consciousness going on to the point where now you and I and many of our listeners already live in a different world than those walking around us on the streets.
Yeah, and that's exactly...
And that's already happening and it's going to happen more.
That's exactly what I'm affirming.
Mm-hmm.
I call it affirmations with determination for confirmation and integration with the holy whole.
Mm-hmm. The holy whole. That's good.
In other words, there's the holy, holistic, holographic,
yes.
healthy whole.
Yes.
All the same word derivative, by the way. It's an Anglo-Saxon word meaning called how. The root word of all those words is the word how, you know, like in the computer
right,
in 2001. And,
right.
and the Anglo-Saxon word how meant sound or whole. And, of course, when you're of sound body and mind, the whole or Holy Spirit dwells within you. You know, the body's the temple of the living
yep.
Spirit. And isn't
we're
it interesting?
All holons.
We're all holons. And we're all living in our holodeck.
Yes.
You know, and the programming of the holodeck, how we program the holodeck is pretty much the results we get.
Right, and then the one big thing that makes it harder for people to believe is there's often a time lag. So you may do something that creates a significant shift inside of your being, and yet in this time-space reality, it seems that there is a time lag before which the shift you created actually is visible in the universe.
That's right.
And this is what makes it confusing for people. But what I know from my own personal experience is when I make that shift, sooner or later, it reflects out. And it seems
yeah.
like it does happen sooner because I'm more in tune with it now than it used to.
And I think that shift that a lot of people are experiencing,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are having when I say significant emotional experiences, they're having the windows opening in all kinds of ways for a lot
mm-hmm.
of people these days.
Yeah.
And they have flashes of insights, just knowing.
Yes.
Where they just, you know there's so much more, and there's, you know how it is some days when the weather is beautiful and you just have a few moments and you just have that cosmic sense of it's all in divine order.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think there's a lot of people that are getting a grip on the order of the universe. I mean, literally, you know, that it's not just in divine order. There is a divine plan. There's an awareness that each individual has a divine destiny, divine plan. Some people get it in terms of soul contracts. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
something they came here to do. Some people are awakening to that. Some people aren't.
Yes.
And, you know, some will, some won't. So what? Next?
Yep.
You know, and all you can do is all you can do, but there's a lot of people that are really doing everything they can to center and connect with the message or they're massaging the message, you might say.
Right.
And in a sense, the media is the message, and the new media, I really believe, is the mediation between the internet and the outer net, or inner reality of of a non-linear, non-local cosmic sense,
mm-hmm.
and the outer sense of a linear logical timeline that we all consider 3D reality.
Right.
And that this is amazing. I mean, it's just amazing, interesting times. What's coming out.
What I'm finding in my own personal evolution, for a while there, just for a quick note, you mentioned that I was an interpreter for presidents in the White House and that sort of stuff, and that
uh-huh.
was great, fun stuff. But eventually, that led me deep into the research of cover-ups, and I was really focused on, wow, what's really going on here? Because I actually did not know any of the major cover-ups until actually shortly before 9/11, thanks to Stephen Greer's work. And then, so I was focused on that, and what I'm finding now is, I've got the big picture of what's going on with the cover-ups down pretty well, so what I'm really finding myself attracted to now is consciousness. And finding out that, yes, the physical world is real and apparent to our senses, and important for that, but beneath that, consciousness is doing all sorts of amazing things, and each one of our consciousnesses is infinitely powerful. Which actually can be scary if you have that much power. It's a scary thought to embrace, especially if you have to take responsibility for your power. So the more I'm exploring consciousness, the more I'm finding my own consciousness being transformed and inspiring others and connecting up with others like you and many others who are doing similar work. And now I feel like, yes, I'm into let's explore transforming our own and our collective consciousness.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I really have felt over the years that the awakening process, I've kind of gone through a similar awakening to a lot of stuff, and just wanting to be more conscious of what's going on between my ears.
Yeah,
and I think that personal growth, growth and development thing subject is. I mean, we don't see the world the way it is; we see the world the way we are.
Oh, yeah, and for me, one of the keys has been anytime I find myself seeing some sort of significant problem, or these days even cover-up out in the world that's really bothering me,
yeah.
If it's got charge for me, I put up the mirror. It's like, oh, well, what is this reflecting inside of me? And it's not that I won't do what I can to stop it out in the world. I do that, too. I don't want to just let bad things happen. But equally important is putting up the mirror and going, oh, I know that if I'm uncomfortable with this, there's something going on inside of me that's maybe even somehow co-creating this entire situation.
I think a lot of listeners can appreciate that, for those who tuned in later in the show, I'm talking with Fred Birx of the websites introduced on the Cosmic Love webpage for today. And we're dealing with the subject right now of consciousness, and I think everyone can relate to the idea that there are days, when you are down, and whatever you look at in the world, has a kind of a scary implications to you. And there's other times that you're centered and connected, like the center of the hurricane, the all-seeing eye of harmonious calm.
Mm-hmm.
And as you look at the world events, you can see, well, oh, that's interesting, and there's no charge to it. And the idea of information as it goes global on current events, which is one of the things, Fred, that you do so well with your websites, with a very level-headed, basically accounting of information, like, this is interesting, this is coming out.
This is worth knowing,
And if it's disturbing information, inspirational, counterbalance information, information that you can delve into to basically center and connect again with the spirit that matters. Because I think that's really the heart of this consciousness revolution and the crisis in consciousness. Really, all crisis in the world, you might say, is a crisis in conscience.
Right. Yeah.
And I love the quote by James Madison, chief architect of the Constitution, who said, conscience is the most sacred of all property.
Mm.
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah, it's great to say that, you know, conscience is actually kind of can be treated like property.
It is.
How would our laws and everything change if we really valued consciousness as highly as we value all these physical objects around us?
That's right. And I think of that, you know, if conscience is the most sacred of all property, and if we own it,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we own up to higher conscience,
yep.
and if we take responsibility for what we know, well, it kind of naturally follows that the more you know better, you know, in good conscience, the more you'll do better.
Mm-hmm.
And collectively, a process for involving and evolving our individual and collective conscience becomes self-evident to me as a process for taking the Constitution of freedom of speech, assembly, petition, government, etc., you know, core
mm-hmm.
constitutional freedoms to the next level.
Yes.
And that concept of how the computer internet revolution could go to the next level and the next economy, you might say,
mm-hmm.
with the currency of conscience.
Yep. Well, and this is what's so exciting to me. I think we are doing that just by holding the intention. I mean, it's so wonderful how it's spreading. You know, Christopher,
yeah.
your radio show is drawing all these people in, and all your work, and mine too, just pulling all these people together, and we're all interlinking up. And there's certainly, what I do is I consider you, Christopher, kind of a node, and I'm a node, and many of our listeners are nodes too. And once you become a node, people start linking directly into you, but then they're interlinking up with all these other people, and we're creating what I call literally a web of love.
Yep,
around the planet. It's kind of like an energetic or, you know, some sort of consciousness web of love around the planet. And as it grows stronger, people get attracted to it. Because
yeah.
I see how much I love my life, and people see that. I just love my life. And people who are sort of radiating this kind of like, hey, we're ready. Let's create the new paradigm now. Other people are attracted.
I believe that. I believe there's a linking of the light. And there's a momentum of as the light links in these nodes, and there's just thousands of these nodes all over the world that are linking.
I think there's hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
If not millions, right?
If not millions, and actually everyone is a node in the grid.
In the greater sense, yes.
In the greater sense, in this morphic grid of consciousness, I think there is a natural, and it's a chicken and the egg thing with this computer internet revolution in consciousness. Whether it's the internet and the internet at the heart of the internet,
right?
Whether that is morphing the grid of on the outer, which is the internet,
uh-huh.
or whether you know it is the social conscience in our social network, you know, the linking of the light of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
which is then, you know, creating, you know, Facebook or Web 3.0, you know, from Web 2.0.
Right.
It's creating a wholly new web of light, a web of
yep.
love, a web of conscience. And I know there's this interaction on the inner and the outer, and I really think that a lot of people have experienced, you know, this quantum conscience, the sense
yep.
at one time or another that, you know, that is a web of light and love that is transforming, you know, the collective unconscious
yeah,
to a collective conscience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that it's interesting because I know, like, for me, my own greatest challenge for a variety of reasons I won't go into is arrogance. Even
yeah.
when I was a kid, I thought I was better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for me to believe that somehow, on some level, I believe that I'm better than everybody else. And yet, I so know it's not true. And, you know, I've been
yeah.
working and transforming that, which is what's made my life much more enjoyable, by the way. And what the way I work it, because arrogance is my issue, it's like, no, I know every person out there ultimately has as much knowledge, depth, and wisdom as I do. And
yeah.
so every person that I meet is there for a reason and has something to teach me. And so
well,
this
you know,
is how I've dealt with my own core issue to connect with that internet you're talking about and connect with it through the eyes of every person I meet. And that is what is really transforming my life.
Well, you know, George Washington had extraordinary ambition and arrogance. And he married one of the richest women in the colonies. And he was just really ambitious to develop his wealth and his plantation. And, you know, he wanted to be a British officer originally. And then, you know, when he had accumulated all this, he put it all on the line.
Yeah.
And he took everything that he had and everything he owned, and he took his own personal fortune, you know, to finance the soldiers and to provide them shoes at Valley Forge and, you know, to keep the revolution going. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was like he took every erg of his, you know, ambition and his arrogance, and he transformed them.
Yeah.
And but he it took probably his ambition and arrogance, you might say, to get to the point where he had the resources, and then he just put them all on the line because he couldn't think of anything better to do, you know, to serve the cause, you might say,
right.
of freedom and opportunity. And I think that's where the planet is now. It's we're finishing what the U.S. founders began, and the potential for an electronic upgrade of freedom of speech, assembly, to petition government, you know, with the internet globally,
yes.
you know, for just an instant everywhere interactive revolution and higher conscience globally. I really believe that's where it's at. And
absolutely,
it's interesting how that will shake out.
Well, it's exciting because, see, to me, this is, you talk about the inner and the outer reflecting each other. And, you know, part of the arrogance thing to me is a part of me would think, oh, God, maybe I'm, like, responsible for everything. And that's actually an arrogant thought. And I appreciate your point. Arrogance is not necessarily always a bad thing. It can drive people to do great things and has helped me in many ways. But also there's the downside of arrogance where I believe that, oh, I can control other people. And
yeah.
And so to me, it's about the inner and the outer reflecting each other. And so other people may have the thing where I'm not good enough. A lot of people have that one. I'm not good enough, which is almost the other side of arrogance. And that's just as disempowering as the arrogance. And so it's as we find the balance inside ourselves, I think that's what starts reflecting out in our individual world around us and
yeah.
collectively as more and more people join in this.
Yeah, I think this concept of any attitudinal frame of reference as a belief system, sometimes I call it BS, you know, as a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
you know that. You know,
I haven't thought of a belief system as BS. That's funny.
You know, any lockstep frame of reference, like I am this or I am that, becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it can be. You know, there's always a good aspect of it and a negative aspect. You know, there's two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
And how that prophecy can go. And I think, you know, there's the affirmation of the God qualities of any aspect of,
yeah.
you know, of a belief system. And then there's the shadow cast, as Jung would say.
Right.
You know, great light casts a big shadow.
Right.
And so there's this thing of, you know, I am, and then there's the affirmation and the positive. And that affirmation in the positive must be tempered with the humility. You know?
Well, yeah, it's like there's a lot of people who have very good intentions call themselves light workers, and they're
yeah.
out to banish and or defeat the darkness. And yet what I suggest is that the darkness and the shadow is a lost part of ourselves, that
That's
when
right.
we open to what it really is, and everything in its core is divine. Remember that, everything in its core is divine. So for some reason that I don't even understand, the divine wanted to explore all these deep shadow things and some crazy stuff that, you know, I will do anything I can to stop. But I'm also trying to understand the shadow. If we don't look at the shadow or try to kill it, we're just creating more of the same. But if
That's
instead
right.
we work to try to integrate it and shine light into the shadows, that's when I think we really start taking off.
Well, you know, as the scripture says, the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. And it's like an ongoing process of becoming more aware of how we're aware, you know,
yeah.
and what's, I mean, individually and collectively. And light brings up all unlike itself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as you cast light on dark places or dark spaces or dark, you know, that more light makes the dark side obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And that concept of that, you know, really is in the quantum field or the morphic field of just infinite, eternal, you know, in the cosmic scheme of things. We, you know, we're in this limited sense of time and space.
Right.
And we create our BS or belief systems, and then they shape us.
Yes, that's very well put. Well, and so one of the key things I think that we're seeing is in the old paradigm, we felt enough difficulty with our lives that we didn't want to look at the shadow stuff. Like, let's just focus on the positive stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, let that other stuff take care of itself. But what that did is it allowed the shadow side to fester and get really ugly because we weren't even paying attention to it.
Well, I love the dance that you do between the dark side and the light side.
Right, exactly. And that's what wantoknow.info is all about. It says, hey, folks, no need to be freaked out, but if we don't know what's going on, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So this is why, you know, some people are so focused on, you know, the law of attraction, only focus on the positive things, and that's what will come to you. I really don't think that's long-term going to be a good thing. I think if you focus on both a balance between the shadow and the light, then you become a more balanced person and you attract that balance into your life, which actually allows you to live a much fuller and richer life.
I think that's the full spectrum balance between the far left and the far right. You know, the left brain linear lockstep letter of the law,
yep.
and the right brain, you know, spherical nonlinear spirit of the law. And it's also, when I say left and right, it's also the balance between the extreme right, you know, you think of, you know, I'm right and, you know, I'm
yep.
right and you're wrong.
Yep.
And the extreme left, which it says, if only you believe good thoughts, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the balance is, you know, when you know better in full conscience, you know, full spectrum conscience, you can do better.
Right.
And it's, but it's like knowing how bad things are and how good things can be. And it's like,
well, and even how good they are, because some of
and
that
how good
is really
they how good
up.
They how good they are.
Yeah.
It's like fearless faith.
Yes.
And,
I like
and,
that fearless
and,
faith.
Fearless faith transcends faithless fear.
Yes.
In other words, but you've got to, and when I say you've got to, there's a philosophical point in all this, and I call it that, you know, that all-seeing eye at the center of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
When you're centered and connected with that, that's the spirit that matters, you know,
yes.
harmonious, calm, and the universe is in divine order and harmony, you know. When you're centered and connected with that, and you become like a still mountain lake that can reflect the heavens.
Absolutely, it's beautifully put.
And you can look through that still mountain lake in a little bit different way, and you can see below the surface, and you can see the subterrain, the subconscious.
Absolutely.
And so you can see both ways with just a shift of the gaze, and, you know, to still the mind in that way, which is the whole idea of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the mediation between as above, so below, you know, the higher.
Yep.
And all that sub stuff, you know, that unconscious stuff, it'll like bubble up to the surface, or you can see the features of those patterns, those, you know, that have been running us unconsciously. And
yep.
once a person becomes, you know, it's like biofeedback.
Absolutely.
Once you become conscious of some involuntary process in the body, not only do you will to control it, you can't resist conscious control.
Right.
That's what biofeedback showed.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing with psyche feedback, you know, when you
right.
become conscious of how you're conscious, et cetera.
Well, and one of the things I find is key in all of this is trust.
Yeah.
The more you trust the universe and you trust yourself, and I'm not saying this is an easy thing. It's really hard for some people to trust themselves. But if you open to it and ask for guidance to trust yourself on the deepest levels, to trust that the universe ultimately is this benevolent, wonderful, existent being exploring itself, if you want to call it that, and that it's a beautiful process if we sort of surrender and trust to it. And from that place of trust and surrender, we can powerfully create. But
yeah.
it's from the surrender that we create, and that's the balance of masculine, feminine, yin and yang that is so beautiful.
And I think listeners to the show who have experienced in meditation a clear connection with what you might call conscience or
mm-hmm.
their higher self or their real self or their
mm-hmm.
divine self, their God self, their, you know, the presence of divine love, you know, the divine mother, father, God, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever a person conceives God, when a person connects with that,
mm-hmm.
they, you know, if they have a real serious the experience of cosmic consciousness in that regard, they're never going to forget that.
That's
going
right.
to become
it,
the,
it will shift you forever, right?
It's going to become that small voice within, and whenever you go back into, you know, meditation, that centered connection and connected reflecting pool.
Yes.
Then you can really go back to that small voice and just basically, you know,
it's always
to,
a part of you. It's like
it's always a part. It's always a part of everyone.
Yeah.
But I think
a lot of people don't experience it, though. I think in this reality.
Well, that's what I mean. Those who have experienced it.
Yeah, like the people who've gone through near-death experiences. Is a
that's
great
right.
Example.
People have gone through near-death experiences, and not everyone has had, you know, a life-changing experience. I mean, that's what got me on the path, serious, big time.
Oh, really?
You know?
You had one of those experiences?
Oh, I had a classic case of cosmic consciousness where I saw into the past, the future, had gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Where people were, you know, seeing auras and the whole, you know, I was in college, you know, and I was I was in architectural engineering and I was studying Jung, and all of a sudden I realized that these archetypes of consciousness was the architecture I wanted to get into.
How cool.
And I got a dialogue one time going with just this fervent on my knees for 2 weeks, you know, fervently, you know, just praying, you know, what am I supposed to do with
nice.
My life? And I got a dialogue going, and it snowballed, you know, into this dialogue with my higher self, and the higher self started going through, you know, well, it's better to believe nothing and either know or not know.
Wow,
so I was
that's
going
great.
Into what I'm going through, you know, what am I trying, what should I believe, what should I believe? And so this voice kind of went through, you know, it's better to believe nothing and either know or not know.
Cool.
And I says, you know, and this was in the context of, you know, what is science? What's science? What
right.
is this whole thing about science? And well, science is, you know, I studied Latin, you know, Latin. Science
right.
is scenario, to know, you know. And
right.
and I said, well, what is religion? And religion is to believe.
Right.
And then it says, well, you know, what about science and religion? And it was just like this voice said, well, it's better to believe nothing and either know or not know.
Wow, that's great.
And it snowballed, and it said, well, what am I then to do? And you know, well, so what am I to do? Because I had this dialogue going, and it was like conscience was speaking to me.
Right.
And there was this voice that came so clear, so just fervently clear that, you know, in this process, that, you know, how everything is connected,
mm-hmm.
you know, religion, science,
yes.
and how everything is connected between
and
your ears.
And once you know that, then you begin to trust.
And I began to trust, and then that yep. trust in me, you know, just kind of asked, you know,
mm-hmm.
ask and ye shall answer, knock and I
yep.
shall enter. Kinda,
yeah.
And, just, and so there was like fervent from my heart, well, what am I to do then? And because I had come to the connection that this universal connection of everything is a universal language.
Mm-hmm.
And you could call it the web of love.
Mm-hmm.
You could call it the web of light.
Yep.
And it was so clear in my mind, in my thoughts, at that time, that there is a universal law language of a connection. And so I'm asking, you know, from my heart of hearts, well, what do I do now? And then there's this voice, all things follow from the universal language.
And it kind of linked. Voice, huh?
Oh man, it was like all things. It was like, and all of a sudden, my back arch and the kundalini shot up, my spine and my chakras
wow.
went off.
Wow!
And it reached my crown chakra, and it was like this bliss and this knowing and seeing into the past and the future, and,
wow.
and just, I mean, it was so beyond. I mean, it's almost like, you know, to even talk about it is it's almost like profane.
Right.
But anyway,
cool.
that.
I had actually an experience when I was in college as well that was a huge change for me. I was reading this book actually titled Cosmic Consciousness, which was written in 1901 by a guy named Richard Buck.
Oh, I read that book. That was one of my favorite books.
Yeah, so I'm reading this book, and, you know, I don't know, maybe I was a third of the way through, and he just started saying something. It just started clicking, and something inside
yeah.
of me just started going click, 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 click. And the next thing I know, the top of my head energetically just opens up, and all of this amazing knowledge and wisdom just starts instantaneously downloading into my consciousness.
Yep,
and I'm just in deep
yep.
tears, and it's like, I get it, because he was talking about how everything is all interconnected, and I just, suddenly it was as if, you know, all the knowledge from past lives just came back to me in the course of a few minutes, and I was just left in tears and joy and love, and it was just an amazing experience.
Fred, that book, Cosmic Consciousness by Burke, was, I mean, I kept that always right in front of me with just a few, you know, my top 10 books, and that was you know.
That's too funny because it's not that well known of a book.
No, it's not, but it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy to the extent you tune into it.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, you and I were both like, well, hey, I want that, you know.
Yeah.
Cosmic consciousness, sure, why not?
Well, we all came for different reasons, and I think that was part of my soul contract.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when I had that experience, I just said, you know, this cosmic, I mean, I had that experience, I guess the Holy Spirit said, man, I just dropped out of college and studied the mysteries of God and hitchhiked out to Rosicrucian University, the Rosicrucian Order out in San Jose, and immersed myself in the mysteries of God and the record of ancient mystics, saints, and avatars throughout history. Which is the whole story of the Rosicrucian Order, is the ancient mystical order. And later I got into a modern-day mystery school with the Ascended Masters and the Mysteries of God, you know, in a modern-day sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of, you know, set my sails.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, the key here to me, you know, for any of our listeners, I'm sure some of our listeners have had these kind of experiences, and I love sharing them. But others who haven't, the key is really to open and have what I would call a pure desire.
Pure intention.
Desire means both intention from the mind and desire from the heart. And when you combine the heart desire with a deep and clear intention from the mind and really send out a request to the universe, the universe, I think, always responds. It may not be what you thought. The response may not look like what you thought, but it will definitely respond to that request. And so for those who are interested in having this kind of experience, I really encourage you to consider that, putting your mind and heart together and developing an intention for what you would like to experience in your life.
Oh, that's a beautiful way of saying it. I have a different way of saying the same thing, and that is pure intention that focuses attention, which is pure intention is of the heart, the attention is of the mind. So a pure intention that focuses attention on our evolutionary ascension. In other words,
not just my, because then you're
not
being
my.
Kind of selfish.
It's like it's our.
Yes.
It's because then we go into the collective unconscious as it becomes conscious.
Right. Exactly.
So the pure intention, you know, so it's like the heart mind connection, left brain, right brain, takes us to the next level, and we're gonna have to do a wrap here. Fred, boy, I tell you what, this has been a great show.
Lots of fun. Thanks, Christopher.
And it was a great way to end it.
Thanks to all of our listeners, too. Yeah.
I'm so grateful for everyone listening, and we'll do it again here in a couple of weeks. God bless you, Fred. And happy trails, everyone. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye for now. Thanks, Fred.
Bye.